living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
All right, well, it is good to be with you. I do have a message. I don't have any points, though. Pastor Greg really likes points. But there's a lot of scripture, yeah. So, I was running on the treadmill. Please don't be impressed by that. Running is not something I do often, rarely at best. But one night, I did happen to be running on the treadmill, and I was thinking about my life. I was thinking about difficulties, and I was thinking about trouble. I was thinking about things that haven't gone right, things that won't go right, things that don't go right. I was running, and that night, I could just feel the weight of problem. You know what I mean? You know, the heaviness of soul. And I thought about a picture that hangs in a church that I used to preach at. It's a picture that hangs high up on the wall behind the pulpit. And it's a picture of Christ. And as I was running, I thought about, you know, looking up at that picture. And as I thought about everything that was going on in my life, I just thought, man, you know, Shane, you have got to look up. And you got to start looking up. And why are you looking down and around? Why is it that you're fixing on danger and dilemma and trouble? And one night it just hit my shame. You've got to start looking up. And you know, there's a scripture that I wanted to share with you. It's from Psalm 123, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one located under the back of the seat in front of you. We'll also have the words on the screen behind me. But Psalm 123, and this morning I'll read from the English Standard. So Psalm 123, it says, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till He has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." To paraphrase that psalm, look up. That's what it's saying. You know, and listen, I don't know what's pressing against your soul today. I don't know what it is that is concerning you, what it is that's draining you. If you have something going on in a relationship, if there's something happening financially, if there's something going on inside your life that is wilting your friendship with God. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. For those who carry heavy things today, the scripture says, look up. "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maidservant look to the hands of her mistress. So my eyes look to the Lord our God till He has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we have had more than enough of contempt and scorn." It says we have had more than enough. We've endured much contempt. We've endured much scorn. We've had more than enough. Here in Psalm 123, that phrase translated more than enough, and you'll find often in other versions it's translated as endured. Well, that phrase, more than enough, in the Hebrew, it's translated as fullness. That's what it means. It refers to a fullness. In other words, understand that the psalmist is crying out here, I am full, Lord. He's saying, I am full today. I'm full of difficulty in my life. I'm full of trial. I'm stuffed with hardship. The New American Standard says, I'm greatly filled. I'm filled up. I wonder if your mom or dad or maybe you said it to one of your kids. Have you ever heard anybody say, you know what? I've had it up to here. Have you heard that? Right? We've all heard it or said it. I've had it up to here with your attitude. I've had it up to here with your mouth. I've had it up to here with your behavior. The psalmist, that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? I am full. I have had it up to here with contempt and scorn that is dumped onto my life. I've had it up to here. He's saying, I'm full of shame today. I'm despised. I'm held as insignificant. Full of contempt. We've heard that phrase, to be in contempt of court, right? What does that mean? Well, to be in contempt of court means to willfully disobey the orders of the court, disobeying the rules of the court. It's talking about disrespecting the court. And our writer in Psalm 123, he's saying, in my life, I'm being pummeled with contempt, with disrespect, with ridicule. It's being poured out on me, and I'm filled up with it. And I wonder, are you full today? Have you been enduring in the sense that you've been filled up, that you've had it up to here with a family member or a co-worker, whoever it might be? Have you been filled up? Maybe there's somebody here today who's under attack. They've been under attack from another individual. They've been under attack from a group of people. And folks who are striking at you with their words. They're telling you that you're wrong. They're telling you that you can't, that you're clueless, that you're unworthy, that you're insignificant. I wonder if you're full of that today. Full of contempt, full of scorn. I think, I don't know for sure, but I think I'm like 35 or 36 years old. Because once you get to 30, you just kind of lose track. There's just not really much of a point in keeping record of that. So I'm going to say I'm 35 or 36. It's probably pretty close. But my point is this, is that, up until I was 30, I had led a pretty tame life, I would say. By the world's standards. Without a doubt, I was a sinner who... a wretched sinner, who was in desperate need of a Savior. But as far as experiencing world-rocking rigmarole, I just hadn't experienced that. In case you're wondering, rigmarole is a word. I looked it up in the dictionary. It means gobbledygook. So that's true. But anyway, my point is that before 30, life was pretty tame. But, when 30 came around, at that time I had become really involved in ministry, and I would say that it was a very hands-on, spiritually messy type of ministry. And it was just like, once I hit 30, it was just boom, these attacks just started coming in my life. And before 30, I knew trouble was out there, and I'd had a taste of it, and I'd read about it, and I preached on it a little bit, but I had no idea. I had not known the purposeful deceit of people. I had not experienced the viciousness of attack, of slander, that cemented crushing weight of discouragement. You know, I'd heard about it, you know, but I had no idea what it was like. And so then once I moved into my 30s, whenever that was, you know, these circumstances, these situations, what did they do? Well, they began to pile up and grow, and they began to encircle around my heart. You know, those circumstances and situations, they began to encircle my life. Nicole and the girls and I, we were watching a nature video, and there was this pack of wolves. And these wolves, they were running down this snowy tree-covered slope, and they showed a close-up of the faces of the wolves, and you could see their long nose and their cold eyes and their teeth and that long red tongue hanging out as they ran. And one of the girls asked me, "Dad, are they mean?" And I said, "Yes, they are mean." And they went running down that hill, and they found a herd of bison that they'd been stalking, and so they formed this circle around this herd of bison, and they were just sliding and slithering, you know, back and forth around that group of animals. And you know, for me, in those circumstances in my life, in those situations in my life, I mean, they were stalking my heart. They were circling about me, just like those wolves, so close to me, you know, so capable of inflicting pain and nipping at my heels and drawing blood. And there was a point that I became full. I wonder, are you full today? Are you greatly filled? I want us to examine this morning, if you are, if you have experienced that, how are we responding to that fullness? And we need to identify what's happening inside of us. How are we dealing with it? How are we responding to it? Are you full today? How are you handling it? Nicole and I, my wife, before we got married, when we were dating at the end of one summer, we went down to Louisville and we're going to ride a riverboat. But the boat ride wasn't until late at night. So I made this picnic and put it in a cooler and all this business. And so we're having this picnic on the riverbank. And so we got done with the picnic and we're putting the cooler back in the truck. And the cooler, it's filled up with ice, right? So it's heavy. Well, I'm putting it in the back of the truck. And the cooler, it like slips and it like lands on my, like on this finger. And there was like this glass jar, like coin jar underneath that. And so man, it just, you know, I mean, just crushed the goodness out of it. And so, you know, I was hopping up and down and moving around. And that sucker hurt pretty good. And you know, my nail, you probably experienced this, but what happened to it? Well, it began to get purple and it began to swell and the nail started to like, you know, lift up off of the finger, and it would just throb at night like you would not believe, and I couldn't sleep. So I was in bad shape. So I went to the doctor. And this next part is probably more than you're going to want to know, but I'm going to tell you anyway for the purpose of illustration, okay? Remember, it all has a point here. So I went to the doctor, and he took a needle, and he stuck the needle in like behind the nail. And when he did, like, you know, this old dark blood like shot out of the front of my finger under my nail. And you want to talk about the best feeling you've ever felt in your life. I mean, that was the greatest needle prick I have had in my entire life. It was a good thing. Why? Because it relieved the pressure that was on that finger. It relieved the fullness. And you know, a moment ago I asked, how are you handling the fullness in your life? How are you responding to it? How are you dealing with it? Why did I ask you that? Well, because of this. Like my finger, okay? When it comes to pain in life, what do? We do everything we can to relieve that pain, right? We try to find a way to get it to go away. In Psalm 123, it said, the eyes of the servants, they're looking to the hand of their master. The eyes of the maidservant, they're looking to the hand of her mistress. Where have you been looking in your life for relief? You know, where have you been looking? Because people, you know, they look in a lot of different places. We look a lot of different places. Some to relieve the fullness. Some people, they'll run. You know, I want to relieve this fullness. I want to be empty of it. And so they'll run. They'll escape. They'll seek to flee. Some people, to relieve fullness, they look to fight. Or they look to hate. Or they look to pretend, to deny that the fullness is there. You know, some people look to a bottle. Some people look to food or sex or whatever it might be. Where have you been looking? Where have you been looking? Because Psalm 123, it says, to you, to the one who sits enthroned in the heavens, you're the one whom I look to. You know, when I was running on that treadmill, and I was thinking about the way I handle troubles. And for me, you know, I try to escape. I'm like, get out of here. Constantly looking at the circumstances, constantly thinking, you know, how can I change this? How can I get away from that? Because once that happens, once I'm away from it, then it's going to be better. And I'm constantly looking around me. I'm constantly watching those wolves that just encircle about. But you know, when I was running that night and I got just that incredibly thick impression from the Holy Spirit that, Shane, you have got to look up. It was a message from the Lord that you've got to be looking up and understand that you and I today, if we are full, if we are looking for relief from the pain, you and I, we must be looking up. Looking up to the risen Savior, looking up to Jesus Christ. I've got to get my heart and my mind off of the things down here and get them up here. Move the thought higher. We need to look up to Jesus. And I know you've probably heard that before. But why is that important? Now, why is that important? How is that effective? You know, look up to Jesus. Look up to Jesus. Yeah, I've heard that. Why is that important? How is that effective? Listen to Isaiah 40. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. To whom will you compare me? Or whom is my equal? Says the Holy One. Now listen to this. Lift your eyes and look to heaven. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. So again, why is this important? How is it effective? It says, because he gives strength. This God, this ruler of the starry, magnificent host, gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary. young men, they stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord, it says, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, why should I look up to Jesus? How is that effective? They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But maybe you say, but you don't understand. And I concede that. You know, that I don't understand where you're at and exactly what situation you're in. You know, it could be today that you are in the middle of a sick and downright despicable circumstance. But if we look up, Isaiah 51, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait and hope for my arm. And so what's it say? It says, listen, lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath the heavens. They vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. The righteousness will never fail. We must look up. He is the one who brings comfort. He is the one who makes the desert grow. From the desert, God can make it grow. Okay? Wherever you're at, no matter how deep and discouraging and frustrated and sad you might be today, you've got to be looking up. Our God does not fail. Our God does not abandon. Our God sees you today. You remember Abraham, Genesis 22, when God tested him. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering upon a mountain. And so Abraham, you know, we know from Scripture that he got up and he took his son. He set out for the place that God had told him about. In the passage, it says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, well, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And so the two, they went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Now, what happened there in the midst of that circumstance? Did you hear it? Now, Abraham looked up, didn't he? You know, he looked up and he saw the ram. He looked up and he saw his father's provision. You know, think about the sickness that he was full of at that moment. Imagine the grief and the torment of heart that he had. But he looked up and God provided. And we need to be looking up. We need to be looking and watching for his provision. I think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And if you don't know about Stephen, Stephen's issue was he told some hard hearts truth that they didn't want to hear. And so in verses 54 through 56 in Acts 7, it says, when they heard this, those hard hearts, it says they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. And what do you think they did? So we have these furious people, you know, gnashing at him with their mouths, encircling him. What do you think he did in that moment as they pressed in on him, ready to stone him, ready to end his life? What do you think he did? Well, it says in the scripture that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. When those wolves encircled around, he looked up to heaven. He saw the Son of Man. He saw Jesus. He didn't look around at the things that encircled him. He didn't look at those who threw contempt and spit scorn in his face. But he looked up to God and in that moment witnessed his glory. You know, you and I, we've got to be looking up today. You know, we've got to be looking up. We can't be looking around at all of this, at all that presses, of all that frustrates. And we've got to be looking up. I wanted to share a word picture that's from Pilgrim's Progress. And you know, I read it long, long ago, but it's just a picture that has always stuck with me. It's about a chicken. He says this, he had them into another room where was a hen and chickens and bid them observe a while. So one of the chickens went to the trough to drink, and every time she drank, she lifted her head and her eyes toward heaven. See, said he, this is what the chick does, and learn of her to acknowledge from where your mercies come by receiving them when looking up. See what the little chick does. And I don't know if how many people have chickens here? Nobody has a chicken except for me. I'm the only one with a chicken. Oh my goodness. Okay. Sorry if I made you feel bad there. I shouldn't have. I just wasn't expecting that no one would have a chicken. That really threw me. So anyway, if perhaps you've seen a chicken, if maybe you see one on television, I don't know when you'll see a chicken, but you know, if you watch chickens, when they drink, they'll dip down into the trough, wherever their water's at, and then they lift their heads up, and that allows the water to go down their throats. And so this writer here in Pilgrim's Progress, these folks, you know, that he was showing this to, he was saying, listen, you know, you and I, we need to be like that. That every moment, you know, we need to be, look, every time we take a drink, you know, every blessing, every mercy, you and I, we need to be looking up like that chicken does and acknowledging our Father from whence our mercies come. You know, that's a beautiful picture. Maybe it won't do as much for you since you don't have chickens, but it did a lot for me. You know, I just think that's the most, the sweetest picture to think of a chicken looking up like that. And you and I, we need to be in the same way, you know, looking to our Father from whence our mercies come. So, you know, I don't know how full you are today. I don't know how heavy you feel, how hard it is to breathe, to sleep at night, how sad you are today. But please understand that you will find no relief. You will find no relief today in looking at the things beside. Okay? And you will find no relief today in looking at the things below. But if you lift up your eyes, if you lift up your eyes, if you will heighten your gaze to Him who sits enthroned in heaven, He is where our help, our comfort, our peace, our strength comes from. Jesus said in John 6:40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day." Are you looking to the risen Son today, to Jesus Christ? If we could bow our heads, and I just want to give you a moment to identify any trouble today in your life, in your heart. If you can pull that out and identify it. Heavenly Father, these dirty bags of trouble and confusion that I hold in my hands today, oh God, I can set them down beside me. Or Father, I can give it to you. Father, some of us have so much today. So many bags, so much trouble. Father, that we would lift our eyes, that they would lift their eyes today. Holy Spirit, that you would come and just with that loving heavenly thumb, that you would lift their chin today. That you would lift them up. That you would enable them to walk in strength in you today. Father, not to focus on the wolves, but to fix on the Savior. God, would you help them to do that? Just continually lift their chin, lift their chin, lift their chin, I pray. God, we're grateful that you do not leave us alone to suffer, but God, that you walk with us and that you help us and that you lovingly lead us along. And for that today, we lift our face and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.